Shoo. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two-Time in the house, coming from you live from a remote location that I can't talk about. It's super secret.
My man, you out in NYC?
I'm hiding out in NYC. I gotta hide from all the liberals, man. I gotta hide from my family.
I get you, man. All right, so on this episode of The Salty Show, as you, if you haven't figured it out, we're missing Heidi and Jeremy. They're out, I don't know, what are they doing?
Work.
They ain't doing shit. They're being lazy. We gotta give a shit. All right, let's get to this. So on this episode, the FBI threw a protest in D.C., and no one came. Well, actually, you know what? We'll get into that.
They rested their own.
Exactly. Also, the border has reached a boiling point, and the potato in chief is nowhere to be found. Also, I can't believe I'm going to say this. Now, this is a week old news, but we got to cover it. If you hadn't been reading Nicki Minaj's Twitter feed up until she got canceled, you're missing out a modern day clash of, I don't know what you could call it, titans. I don't know if they're titans, but we're going to tell you why Twitter was forced to suspend her account. Oh, my God. Straight out of Saul Alinsky's playbook, 8 Steps to Socialism. We're going to talk about how the left has successfully implemented a new age of socialism. But I think we have an answer to that here on The Salty Show. I'm going to call it Saul's 12 Rules for Patriots. So stay tuned for all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show.
So we're going to circle back to socialism, you know, so socialism. So we're going to circle back to the 12 steps of
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get right into this. So I will talk about Saul Alinsky. Now, if you haven't read this book, you know, back when Hillary Clinton was running in 2016, this book, its popularity exploded, and there was a lot of people who, you know, were talking about this book. They even had mentioned that Barack Obama, in his autobiography, quoted from this book about how this book influenced his life. Hillary Clinton wrote a paper in college on this book. And what book is that? Saul Alinsky's 12 Rules for Radicals. But what I want to do is, because what also was circling the social media at that time was a couple other books, and actually one other book, which was Machiavelli's The Prince, and how both of these books are basically on opposite ends of each other. One book is how to keep the ruling class in control, and the other book was how to usurp the ruling class. And so what I want to do here is I want to talk about, yes, we're going to talk about Rules for Radicals, but I also want to talk about some of the quotes that Saul Alinsky gave. And so what people, conservatives, have been able to do is essentially create what is called 8 Steps for Socialism that they attribute to Saul Alinsky, again, a guy who influenced both Hillary Clinton's thinking and Barack Obama. And I believe it's what's being implemented today in our modern world. So I'm not going to cover all the things that are there. But what I do want to do is correlate with what's been going on today as far as COVID and healthcare and the illegal immigration problem, the border crisis, the increase in poverty that's been perpetrated on the American people by this administration. Okay, so in this 8 Steps to Socialism, I'm going to lay out what, and for your benefit, Tim, let me put it up on the screen here. So that way you can prepare yourself for what, can you see my screen?
Yeah, I see the desktop. All right. I might have the same thing in front of me.
Okay, cool. So let me actually put this up here, because I want you to follow along here with me, because you'll see how it relates to everything that's been going on.
Yeah.
But what I want to do as far as you following along here is this portion here. So again, conservatives made it what they call an 8 Steps to Socialism list, which is essentially how to bring on socialism based on Saul Alinsky's quotes. Okay. Now, what I want to cover is the ones that I have highlighted here. The first one, which is going to be healthcare. And again, these are Saul Alinsky's quotes on healthcare. He said, control the people's health and you control the people. The next one is poverty. Increase poverty level as high as possible. Poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if you give them what they need to live, right? The next one, debt. Increase the debt to an unsustainable level. That in turn creates more poverty, which is the number two that I just read. And there's more here. Again, there's eight steps, but the ones that I want to cover is ones that are in full force today. The fourth one was gun control, but we're going to skip over that one because I think Americans for the most part still enjoy.
Not there yet.
Exactly. The next one is going to be welfare, which is take control of every aspect of a person's life: food, housing, jobs, income. And we saw this during COVID, folks. The government enforcing these mandates that has increased dependency on welfare to the point where I just recently went to a Subway and they're closed half the day because they don't have people to show up to work, folks, because the government is paying people to stay home. Essentially, we're going to get into that. The next one is education. Take control of what people read and listen to. Take control of what children study in schools. We're going to talk about this one. This one is something that we're living today. The seventh is religion. And you talk about this all the time, Tim. We've mentioned this. Remove the belief in God from government and schools, right? And we're going to talk about how that's happening today. The last and final one is class warfare, right? Divide the people into wealthy and poor. And this will cause discontent and make it easier to increase taxes across the board without losing the support of the poor, you know, by making everyone think they will only tax the rich. We're living this today. Okay. But again, the ones that I want to cover are health, poverty, debt, welfare, and education. And the final one is religion. So I'm going to leave two of those out. Okay. So how does that apply to today? And the first ones that I want to attack, and I combined them because I feel that by combining them, we can see how this has been strategic, folks. This has been systematic. Okay. So let's talk about, I'm calling this the first section of this podcast, immoral education. Okay. And we're combining both six and seven, which is education and religion, right? Take control of education and remove God. Okay. We're seeing that being played out today in our society. And like I said, you know, we've said this multiple times that there's a moral decay happening in our society being led by those who we've entrusted, right, to teach the next generation. How many times have we shown videos of the shit that's happening in our schools? And we're going to talk about a couple of those today. And I don't know if you saw this one, Tim. I think you're the one who sent me this. The shit, a school in Ohio was having students write about. It would make any parent livid. Were you the one who sent me this list, Tim?
I saw it, but I don't think I was the one.
All right. So
I sent you other things about schools and teachers and shit they were writing.
Let me give you the list, dude. This is in Ohio, okay? Listen to these subjects that kids were given. Write a scene that begins, it was the first time I killed a man. This is a topic that schools are giving students. And these are high school. These are preteens, middle schools. What is happening? Okay, let's go to the next one. Describe your favorite part of a man's body using only verbs. Okay, let me get to the crazier ones, dude. Now, what I want to show you, the reason I'm reading these out is because there was a response to this. And I love the response that the parents did. Okay. The next one, you're a serial killer. What TV shows are on your DVR list and why? The next one, write a sex scene you wouldn't show your mom. Again, folks, these are assignments that were given to students in a school system in Ohio. Now, you got to think, how far have we fallen? Because there was an idea. The idea was, we don't need God in our school systems. Why are we teaching kids about God? Separation of church and state. And there was this big push. And then everybody agreed, sure, let's remove it. But see, there was a void that was left, right? And what fills that void? It's this fucking nonsense. Okay, so what happens? And again, folks, I have a list of shit. And that's not even the worst of it. Let me read you another one. Write a sermon for a beloved preacher who has been caught in a sex scandal. This is, again, what high school students are being, assignments that they're being given. Now, the Ohio mayor, you're the one who sent me this.
Yeah.
Okay.
I forgot about the list. I forgot about the list. It was about what he said to them, saying how you're all pedophiles and you should all resign because you're going to jail.
So this is what the parents were livid about, to the point where this Ohio mayor goes to the school board meeting and tells them that they need, in their face, he tells them, you need to retire or face a child. Resign or face child pornography charges. Let me play this, because you need to hear this.
And it has come to my attention that your educators are distributing essentially what is child pornography. So I'm going to give you a simple choice. You either choose to resign from this Board of Education, or you will be charged. Thank you.
So if you listen to the crowd, to me, that's what gives me the hope, right? Because you know there were a lot of parents there who were in total agreement with this. And I think there was such an outcry about this fucking insanity. Yeah.
Take it back a couple steps, right? So last year with the lockdowns, right, as part of this radical plan, right, everything went to remote learning. And through remote learning, parents were home because they were working from home and their kids were home. So now with their kids home, parents were starting to see what teachers were teaching them through the Zoom meetings. And all of a sudden, that was making teachers feel uncomfortable, because parents were like, what the hell are you teaching my kid? To where they were trying to say parents aren't allowed in the room while we're teaching, because, you know, we want to keep that boundary of separation of child and parent and whatnot.
Oh, shit. Blah, blah, blah.
But this started opening a lot of the parents' eyes, right? And then after the George Floyd thing, where then all of a sudden every school district started getting woke, and they started throwing in the whole, you know, critical race theory, and it started becoming more prevalent in high school curriculums, elementary curriculums, because we've seen thousands of videos of people having to do this, right? And whistleblowing on it. So now let's take it forward. The same rules that they did in college to indoctrinate a lot of these kids, right? In college, getting the education, that's where everybody gets radicalized in college. You leave college, you know, you graduate high school, a happy-go-lucky kid. Then you go into college, you come back, and all of a sudden you hate your parents, you hate the world, everybody's a racist, blah, blah, blah. We all see how it works. But now that they got to college, now they made the mistake. They were like, we got college, we got higher ed. Now we got to get the activists in high school. If we can get the kids, we can radicalize a whole generation that we could take over. Because they got the Zoomers, but now we need the next generation that's going to be in sync when those people try to be the revolutionary.
Right.
So what's happening now is, parents are going, oh, hell no. My eyes are open. They weren't expecting this. They weren't expecting parents to open their eyes, because for the last 30 years, parents were pretty much turning a blind eye to what their kids were learning, because they figured, I went to school and I got the same education, math, science, history, biology, gym, go home, do some homework, progress reports. They didn't realize teachers had pictures of Mao Zedong up there, Castro, Hugo Chavez, all those guys. So parents are wide awake now. And they're like, I always been saying for the last couple months, they fucked up. I'm sorry. They messed up by going after the children. By going after children, you were waking up the mama bears. And mama bears ain't having this. You start messing with their cubs.
Tim, and again, because I want to wrap this around, again, Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Mm-hmm. Now, Saul Alinsky was not, you know, a socialist. He, you know, he maybe had some tendencies, but in general, most of his, you know, his books that he wrote you know, we're not necessarily promoting socialism, even though some of his quotes that are attributed to him are for that. And that's where conservatives have been able to make this, you know, list of eight ways to, you know, implement socialism. But what I want to get at is, see,
liberals, right?
Liberals. Or what did I say?
You keep saying conservatives.
Conservatives made the list from his quotes.
Oh, right? Yes.
They derive this eight steps to get to socialism, but it's based off of his quotes. So conservatives created that list.
Yep.
But what I want to wrap it around this is that, again, this little segment, I'm calling it immoral education, because, again, folks, remember what we said. The two things was take control of the school system, education, and two, remove God. Okay. Now, the best example of that is these homework assignments that these kids are being given, which you combine those two. You removed God, and now you create an immoral. Now, see, the point that I want to get at is this, Tim, because I see this on TikTok all day. I'm hooked on TikTok, and I see it, dude. Kids, dude, who have gender dysphoria, who are adamant about, and they're confident in their ignorance. They're confident in their ignorance about there being in numerous amount of sex genders, right? There is no limit. Whatever gender you feel at this second, that's what you are. Oh, tomorrow you're. I saw one kid making the correlation, says, just because you like eggs for breakfast and steak for dinner.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Right? You saw that. and you, everybody's like clapping. It's like, yeah, oh, so much sense. And you're like, but you think about it, it's like, bro, you're, and so therefore you have all these genders and you can be all that. So,
well, they had the one.
But what I want to get at was that they've created this gender dysphoria. And like you said, it's not until recently. So this is the silver lining in COVID, is that conservative parents can now see, and you can't claim ignorance, conservative parents. You know how many friends, I have friends who work in the school systems. You know, sometimes because we go after the school system sometimes very hard. And some of my friends are like, oh man, you know, I work in this and I feel. But this is a call to you, conservative person. Either you stand up, you gotta make a stand, and you gotta raise some awareness. If we don't speak up to this bullshit, this is only gonna get worse. And this is what they call progress, by the way. This is what liberals call progress. I think this is degeneracy. What were you gonna say?
No, I'm saying it's progressive. You know, they use the word progress and progressive as it's a good thing, but it's really only progressing their agenda, right?
Exactly.
Everybody that claims socialism is great, they're always at the top of the food chain to telling lower people that, you know, and we're going to get to that in the rules for radical, is they always tell the bottom half, saying, we're going to give you this to get you to that top of the mountain. You never get to the top of the mountain. The top of the mountain is already clean. You ain't getting to that top of the mountain. You did no way, unless by some gleam of luck, but that is 0.00001%. You have a better chance of flying the LGBTQ flag in fucking Kabul than you do of making it to the top of a fucking hill in socialism.
Exactly. Just to end this segment, because we got to move on to the other examples. A Texas school promoting pedophilia. Mm-hmm. Now, this one, dude, it angers me. Let me play this shit. This is insanity. Watch this shit.
This is my son, Cameron. He attends Leander High School, and I'm going to explain to you the book that he received. But Mr. McKay, I pray you're a man of your word. Last week, I asked my children if I could check the books that they've picked up from the school. My son picked up this brand new book from the shelves in class, Lawn Boy. He was under the impression it was about a kid that ends up with a gig mowing the grass at Disneyland. I'd like to share a few quotes with you. This first one, just turn it around. On page 19, not that it really matters in fourth grade, at a church youth group meeting out in the bushes, I touched Doug Goebel's dick and he touched mine. In fact, there was even some mouths involved.
Stop
next
laughing.
One, page 91. What if I told you I touched another guy's dick? What if I told you I sucked it? I was 10 years old, but it's true. I put Doug Goebel's dick in my mouth. I was in fourth grade. It was no big deal. He sucked mine too. And you know what? It wasn't terrible. Page 174. I don't know if I quoted, if I made a sign for this one. Yeah, I did. He talked about old times at the church, but never mentioned our penises or the fact that he never said 10 words to me after our little foray in the bushes. Not a single reference to holding or tugging or sucking dicks. All I could think about while he was chatting me up was his little salamander between my fourth grade fingers rapidly engorging with blood. Page 230. I didn't make a sign for this. Why won't you admit we sucked each other's dicks? We shared a Hershey's bar, then you showed me your dick. The next thing I know, it's in my mouth. We sucked each other's dick, and you're pretending it didn't happen. What sort of diversity are you intending to teach my child with material like this? In addition, I'll share with you the exceptional quality of vocabulary. I stopped counting on page 66 after 44 fucks and 41 shits.
Okay, you know, obviously we know this is comical because we're grown, you know what I mean? Like, but you got to think about what where this is being allowed to be read in the age. You know, sex should be left to the parents to discuss with their kids, not the fucking school system, and not in this way. This is disgusting, dude. It is. It angers me that, but you know what? In their mind, they're like, no, this is what, because little Johnny, he needs to find out what gender he is. He might be homosexual.
I mean, when I was a kid, like that kid's age, teenager, the only reason why I'm not laughing about where I think it's funny. I find it really hilarious that she's reading these quotes as a mom in front of her kid, front of a school board. And I know it probably kind of irks her to say that in public. She probably does it on the side to her husband and whatnot. No big deal. That's what you do in your own room. The fact that you are publicly saying this in front of people and you go, it's embarrassing. It's almost embarrassing, like, for that kid to be up there with his mom and she's sitting there saying, yeah, sucking dicks. And you're just like, God damn. You know what I mean?
I think not many people would do that. Not many people would have that courage.
Nope.
And, but see, we have to commend that courage because people would be like, well, that's embarrassing. But then nobody would know this.
100%.
You see what I'm saying?
That right there.
And this is why I'm telling you, if you're a conservative parent and your kids are in these public school systems, pull them out. I know you may think that you don't have the recourses and all this and all that, but you have to make a stand. You have to at some point take it in the chin. We have to at some point be willing to take that punch, because if we don't, ladies and gentlemen, we will lose our society.
Yeah. And to your point, this right here, when you hear people say, no, that doesn't happen in schools, or it doesn't happen in my school. Maybe it doesn't happen in your school, but it's happening in the school system, and it has been. And if parents aren't paying attention, I say this all the time, parents stop being parents, they became their friends, right? Because their parents don't really know what to do. They don't like each other. They don't like their lives, most of them. So they give them an iPad and put them in front of a Call of Duty and they go, oh, that has no impact on their life. Yeah, it does. You're not a parent. You're a friend. So this is radicalizing your kid as well. This is part of it. You know, everything kids see that's radical that you let them, it's opening their eyes to some crazier shit. Sorry. It is true, because we're seeing it firsthand.
And I think for a long time, the ignorance of what was happening, you can't claim ignorance anymore, conservative parent. You cannot claim ignorance because and this is like, to your point, people like to think, well, this is not my school, this is just some random school. No, folks, this is the norm more than it is the exception, and they're succeeding again in education. They have taken control. Liberals, leftists today have control of the education system, and they've removed God. They've removed, you know, prayer from schools, dude. They've removed the idea that there's a higher power that expects us to act like moral, you know, decent human beings. Okay. I'm going to move on to the next one. And this next one, I'm calling it healthcare warfare. Okay. And it covers number one and number eight from that list of how to implement socialism, quotes from Saul Alinsky. So the number one is healthcare. Control the people's health and you control the people. Number eight was class warfare. Divide the people into wealthy and poor. But the way that they're doing this is they're creating class war. They're creating a divide by having the people who have COVID and those who don't. And they're using the healthcare system to do that. Again, this is healthcare warfare. And they've masterfully combined these two. Again, trying to control healthcare while dividing the people, not by class, but by vaccinated and unvaxxed. And the Democratic Party, we say this over and over again, is the same goddamn racist party. They're pushing segregation again, folks. Tim sends me this video. In Biden's America, you can't eat with your family if you're black and religious and unvaccinated. This is, I think the video you sent me, was that in New York?
In New York. Back to back days in New York City, the most progressive place where big city dreams and their people aren't racist and mean over there. Yeah. Two things have happened in New York City in the past week. One was that video. Guy was at a restaurant and it says right there on the thing, you know, vaccinated unless you're exempt through religious. So he said, I'm religious. And they said, no, you can't do this. And you have all the hipsters with their, you know, BLM fist up saying, yeah, we love black folk. But then when this black guy was being kicked out, they were flipping him off. And then at the end, the kid puts his mask on because he realized the guy was recording him. And now he's a poser. Another one happened at Carmine's in Manhattan where three black women went in and they had their vaccine cards, right? They came in, boom. But the guys that met them came to sit down and they said, no, you can't because you can't eat. Turned out to a whole scuffle. Apparently racial shit was said from a Chinese woman. So I don't know how that one plays into, you know, the narrative. But, you know, they got kicked out. Big fight. Now BLM's protesting Carmine's today. And I'm really curious what came out of that because it was supposed to be a big protest at 5. So, but they were on the grounds of racism and saying that the vaccine passports are racist.
See,
so I want to see what happens with this.
So on my Saul's rules for patriots, I make this point. And again, it's a derivative of Saul Alinsky's 12 rules for radicals, and which is you have to make them live up to their standards. Right. This is why I love this tactic, because conservatives called out BLM day and night. And that's why they did it. They were pressured to do this shit because they said, hey, hold on. This is a black person that was just kicked out. Where are you? Where is your standard? Remember how you burned cities all last year, right? Because the new age of racism. And here is a black man being kicked out on a restaurant by a white man, a white liberal who's, you know, okay. Where are you? And so this is I love this because, again, you're forcing them to live up to their own standards. Okay, so let me go on here with the healthcare warfare. So something else happened last week, and it was huge. It was all over Twitter. Leftists are mad that they're about to lose their free, I'm calling it free labor, in their mega media machine, the propaganda plantation, basically. And what is that? Okay. Because see, Democrats right now, liberals, leftists, are afraid of an alliance between Republicans and blacks. They are afraid of that. Tim says this to me all the time. The last time Republicans and blacks united, war broke out. And you already know how that turned out. All right. This was the Civil War. This was the, you know, the Republican Party was established on the idea of abolition of slavery. Okay, so what happened? Let's talk about how they're losing this power. What I'm calling, again, the propaganda plantation. Okay, because they have blessed certain celebrities and music artists out there to propagate their narrative. Okay, so let's rewind the clock to a week ago when Hollywood was in full Met Gala mode in New York City. So what is the Met Gala? Basically the Super Bowl of fashion. You know, the
tax shelter for the rich.
Yeah. all the stars, you know, were going out and everybody was masked. You saw Alejandra Ocasio-Cortez. Everybody was unmasked. You saw Alejandra Ocasio-Cortez wore the Tax the Rich. You remember that? Her costume that looked like Chick-fil-A bag. This is a freaking awesome. I love those. But so AOC goes to Met Gala and she's wearing this. She pays $30,000 for some fucking ticket. Okay. Again, the irony. Can you afford a down payment for a ticket to somewhere like that, Tim?
No. I mean, yeah. I would have the money after.
So you can't afford nobody. See, only the rich can afford those type of tickets.
Fuck you money.
Exactly. So then she goes out and she explains how she's not rich, which in my opinion is rich. Did you hear her explanation, Tim?
Let me show you. When she speaks, every time she tries to explain something, it's like, you know, like when someone's trying to explain Common Core math, it makes no sense.
So I'm going to play this for you just so that you can watch. Okay. But I'm leading up to something here because.
It's the trick that people use all the time, right? They want you to think that when we talk about rich, we're talking about a doctor or a lawyer instead of someone with hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars. That's what we mean by rich.
That's what you mean, you know, but don't worry, paying $30,000 per ticket. Oh no, that doesn't mean she's rich. No, only those making hundreds of millions, you silly goose, you know, that's not what she meant. But pay attention, silly. It's all dependent on how rich she gets, folks. You see, that's how that works. Cause once she becomes a millionaire, she's gonna move the goalposts and be like, no, it's billionaires. Those are the people. Fuck out of here. Okay.
She's a millionaire, by the way.
Exactly. So again, she was at the Met Gala, but something happens. Okay. And Nicki Minaj tweets about this. Right? The self-proclaimed Harriet Tubman of our time. Now, before I continue, I want to say this, okay? Because it's a sad state we're in when we're looking to an immature, ignorant rapper.
But Nicki's super intelligent. She's actually really, really intelligent.
Bro, but her music, come on.
What is her song?
Which one is her song? She's got a nasty song.
They all got nasty songs. Oh, God. I mean, it is what it is.
All right, I will.
We love it. We dance, we grind on girls. Exactly. I DJ it. It's all good.
But you wouldn't look for her to leadership on answers on... Look, desperate times, okay? Right? Here is where we are. And to me, this reveals the lack of leadership there is out there, okay? That we're looking to her for this. What I say to conservatives, and I'm going to lay this out in my Saul 12 Rules for Patriots, is that for a long time, conservatives have said, oh, you know, whatever. But this is a new conservative party today. And the conservative movement embraced her. You saw that. You saw that all over. And the conservative movement accepted her and said, yes, fight. And I love that. But I'm going to talk about that. Okay, but let me go back to what happened. Okay, so this is, and to me, I just want to make this point. This is us reaching out to her is very reminiscent of that the movie that you like to quote, Idiocracy, right? Remember when they call the guy in because he's the smartest guy because he passes some freaking dumb test? Okay, this is our dumb test, America, brought to you by Big Pharma. Anybody who stands up against this, we're like, oh shit, that's it. You know, this is what we've devolved to, which is, in my honest opinion, it's sad, but at the same time, we have to take advantage of that. Okay. With that being said, we have to acknowledge that the world is what it is. And guess what? Nicki Minaj has 22 million followers.
On Instagram, she has like 100 million.
Exactly.
Almost 200 million people, almost the United States.
So if just 10% of those people are motivated to reflect on their opinion of COVID, it was worth it.
Yeah.
Right. And see the establishment, the left understood this and their reaction proves it. So this is why I always say we have to seize on this and we have to cash out on this opportunity. Okay. and I want to take this quote. The reason I say this, because we have to be smart. And I'm going to take a quote from Machiavelli. Again, I don't agree with the shit that he wrote in the book, The Prince, However, this is a very pertinent quote. How we live is so different from how we ought to live that he who studies what ought to be done rather than what is done will learn the way of his own downfall rather than his preservation. So meaning to say, we want great leaders to take us to the promised land. And guess what? They don't exist. So what we have to do is understand the world as it is today. Nicki Minaj has 22 million followers. So she tweets out, okay, that they were going to be forcing everyone to be vaccinated in order to attend the Met Gala in New York City. She wasn't happy about that. And said that, you know, when she gets vaccinated, it won't be for the Met. It'll be once she's done her own research, which in my opinion is freaking smart. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. So part of that was it wasn't so much about doing her own research. It what came after.
Right.
When she said, well, my cousin's friend or whatever got the shot. And right after the shot, his testicles got enlarged and the fiance canceled the wedding. And she's like, so don't be bullied into doing something that you don't want to do. Because in Trinidad, it's either you get vaccinated or you don't have a job. So they exactly. All kind of got bullied. And she called that out. That right there is what they jumped on because of the bullying part. Not about the research.
So, but they started pressuring her, right? She didn't get canceled and she didn't get nothing, none of that. But people started, if you would have noticed, because I went back and I read that tweet, right? The one about her cousin, boyfriend in Trinidad. With the balls and all that. So I read that, but if you go prior, I'm sorry, if you had read the comments on that, there are very prominent people who were commenting on her page who were telling her, hey, you know what? You don't want to discourage people from getting the vaccine. You know, this is not proven. You don't know this. There's no evidence. You shouldn't do this. Right. So a lot of people started coming after her and telling her. So that's when she was like, okay, well, hold on a minute. This is not, I should be able to ask questions. Okay. Simply being able to ask a question is not an issue. Go ahead. So then Tucker Carlson reported about it on his show. Right. And this is where shit blew up. She tweets this. She tweets a clip of Tucker Carlson to her, whatever, 22 million followers on Twitter and everybody else on every other platform. And that pissed off again, the propaganda machine, the propaganda plantation, and they'd had enough. They needed to put an end to her questioning. So what happened? And Tim, you sent me this. Somebody said this, and this is so, so goddamn true. With everything going on in the world today, the Afghanistan war crimes by Biden, the border crisis, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Comrade Milley, committing fucking treason, China challenging the U.S. on international waters. I don't know if you heard about that. And then one of America's oldest allies recalling its ambassadors from U.S. soil, France. Yeah, I don't know if you heard about that. France removed this. Okay. With all that going on, in the midst of all that, the White House puppet masters wake up Sleepy Joe from his, you know, 10th nap of the day to let him know. And I'm only guessing how the conversation went. President Biden, Nicki Minaj left the plantation. You need to have a meeting with her so that, you know, we can bring her back in. And so, again, it's to control the narrative. It was so much of a threat that it must be addressed. That, look, if you're watching this, in my opinion, this was a wake-up call for her, okay? Because they offered a private meeting. She declined the meeting and instead suggested that, hey, let's do this publicly. So as not to appear deceitful to her 22 million followers. So what does the White House do? They retracted their invite and then came out claiming that she lied about the meeting.
She called them out on it.
She did. I'm going to play the audio. Yeah, go ahead.
So one of the real, so what started this whole thing, right? She tweeted and people went off, but yeah. What the catalyst that sparked it was Joy Reid that night. Within an hour, it was like 2 hours from the time she tweeted it to the time Joy Reid's show started. Joy Reid did a whole opening segment monologue going after Nicki Minaj. So Nicki is live tweeting, going at her, calling her, the uncle yeah. T, but you know,
Tamiana. Yeah, I'm gonna play that.
Yeah. So she goes off. So then Joy Reid kind of hits back. Now, all the, you know, the state-run media, right? That's what it is, state-run media, the propaganda machine, as you like to call it. They all started chiming in. Hey, Daily Beast wrote an article. CNN wrote an article. And the people in MSNBC, Vice, Slate, everybody came after Yahoo, misrepresenting what she said, mistweeting. Nicki Minaj is anti-vaxxer because of swollen testicles. And she, exactly. And what she started, and what she did was, she was like, holy shit. She screen captured all those articles and she goes, oh, this is how it is. You know, they lying on my name. You know what I mean? They, you know, they lying on me, not me. You know what I mean? And she's going at it, right? So the next day, she, the Tucker Carlson thing, then she, with the bullseye and all that, she's like, so you mean to tell me that when the Democrat says, you need to do this, I need to fall in line and say, yes, master, basically. But when somebody else says, hey, get away, you know, the bus is coming, step aside. I can't listen to him because you say he is wrong because he's a different political belief. She's like, he's saying, get out of the way. This one's saying, stand shove in
something,
front of it.
Some marbles up your ass.
Yeah. And she's like, this is not about health anymore. And it started opening her eyes. And she started doing videos and TikTok live. So they had to cut her because they knew that this.
So I'm going to play the video that got her cut off. All right. So she does a Instagram live, I believe. And shortly after this, I haven't seen her tweet. I haven't seen her put an Instagram. They have blocked her from all her social media, folks. Okay. Now, again, they loved her. They loved her as long as she was propagating her message. Again, Nicki Minaj, I think, just realized that even just asking about the vaccine, you cannot do. So let me play this first clip of her.
And so if I want to ask questions about the vaccine, what's wrong? What's wrong? So now there's this gang up for me to say, all right, you know what, you guys, hey, everyone, okay, just take the vaccine. And now I see why celebrities distance themselves from y'all, because y'all be the first ones making fun when people put their neck out.
Again, she realized that just even questioning the machine is not allowed. So I equate it to a lot of things that have happened to conservatives. But the left and people who have been disinterested, people who have been apolitical, people who say, you know what, I don't even want to get involved with politics, that's not for me, are slowly realizing that the powers that be have overplayed their hands. And I'm going to cover this at the end of the show, how this strategy that conservatives are using could be working. Okay. So again, she realizes, shit, I can't even ask questions. Now, let me play this other clip.
It's disgusting that a person can't speak about just questions or thoughts they're having about something that they're going to have to put in their body. That this attack is this hateful. You see, they have to get people who can just get up there and be like, oh yeah, child, and make women of color look fucking dumb. AKA, don't question me, you black bitch. Don't question what's going on, ho. Fuck, you can't see that.
I love it. I like that she's going off because, again, if only 10% of the people who listen to her, watch her, if this is a wake-up call for them, I'm saying this is a win. This is a win for conservatives. Yep.
Well, so one of the other things that happened was a reporter found her cousin and started
emailing. I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
But I'm playing clips. Let me get to that.
Then real quick, I'll let you cover that. But the other reason why they had to censor, and that right after this video is when she started getting cut off from everything. The next day, outside of the CDC in Georgia, in Atlanta, Georgia, they were protesting outside of there because of this. So that was what they did not want to happen.
It's happening. And you know, now, you know what's interesting, Tim? So about a few months ago, there's a song out there, and I recently did a TikTok on it, and a song that talks about, you know, we stand for the flag, you know, that song that's a country song. And so conservatives started using this song, you know, as a respect to the American flag. Liberals then took that song and started posting. And this was before Nicki Minaj did this whole thing. They started posting videos of them with the American flag, but the big picture of Nicki Minaj in front of the American flag. You remember that, right? Yeah. This was a few months ago.
It made its round this week.
Yeah. So what's funny is that those same people who were all pro Nicki Minaj now have to live with that video of them supporting Nicki Minaj, because Nicki Minaj is, and she's not necessarily anti-vaccine, but she's like, hey, we should be able to ask questions now. To what happened? Because I'm trying to lay out how this transpired, because they just didn't not just like, oh, let's cancel her from everywhere. No, there were certain things that happened and certain things that she did that pissed them off. Okay. And so one, she questioned it publicly. She didn't succumb to the pressure from another black woman. She, you know, she's like, oh, this, you know, Uncle Tamiana. She didn't succumb to that. She didn't. And I'm like, hell yeah. So then what does she do? She calls out the White House. She calls them out. And I'm going to play this clip, because keep in mind that when she's saying this, that her publicist and manager were on that same call. And she says they will attest to this call that the White House wanted to have a meeting. So let me play this. This is she's smart, dude. And we'll see.
They were on the phone call. And you know what the request was? We'd like to offer Nikki an invitation to come to the White House to speak with two people, the two names. What is that man's name? Dr. Fauci, and with the Surgeon General. And do you know what I said? I said, well, I would rather not have to travel. Can we do something like a live? And they said that they're open to me choosing a platform to do a live. And I said it would not feel genuine if it was something that I discussed with them only privately, because then it would come off disingenuous to my fans, because it would sound like I was kind of like selling them the, you know, the vaccine. And everyone agreed. Do you guys think that I would make that up? So now this man tried to come on Twitter to try to make a fucking fool out of me. Sweetheart, are you out of your fucking mind? I'm not one of those people that y'all are going to be able to do this with, sweetheart. Okay? See, the minute you guys started going this hard is when this seemed strange to me.
I think that was her wake-up call. I think that's when she was like, what the fuck? No. I'm telling you. So what does she do? And again, she's smart, dude. And because she doesn't take it. She doesn't take it. She is going after them, and they hate it. They hate her for that. They hate that she called them out on their fucking lie, because as soon as they realized, holy shit, we're not going to be able to control her with a fucking private meeting and threaten her, we're going to have to do this publicly. And they what are they going to do? Okay, so then let me continue playing, because I got a couple more clips from her, because she said some really good things here. Like you said, Tim, she's smart. She's not a dumb girl. Okay, so here we go. This is to me, I like this quote here, because it shows me she understands. They woke her up, dude. All right. And we look, conservatives, you need to capitalize on this. You just need to. All right, let me play this.
And they had to make sure it came from a black person first, because if it came from a white person, the black people would be like, oh, you're racist in this. So peep this. The first attack was from a black woman. Now this thing to assassinate my character is from a Uncle Tamiana, black, quote unquote, black man. When 80% of the artists that y'all following right now feel like I feel about the vaccine.
All right, pause.
And are too.
Okay. This is key to me, because I don't think she would just say that. No. Now, I think she's had conversations with a lot of celebrities who have told her, you know what, man, it's just keep your head down and don't even question this, because I feel that because if she's saying that, there's people who fear, then who are those people? And will they have the courage to come out as soon as they see what everything that's happened? Go ahead.
They want their careers. Because look, they were given their careers by the elite. They were the people that run that business, the endorsements, the movies, the record labels, all that, the financial guys, all their money's tied up with these people that, you know, control them. So if they speak up, all they got to do is be like, you're gone. Come up with some fake scam with the government, tax evasion, and you lose everything. They could take it away just as fast as they gave it to you. And now they're all going, shit, I can't say nothing. If they say jump, if they say you gotta say, you know, we're all in this together and get the vaccine. Guess what? You gotta say, get the vaccine. We're all in this together. And you can't say fuck China.
Yeah. Let me keep playing her.
Afraid to speak on it. And guess what they're doing right now? If they assassinate me and assassinate my character and make me look crazy or stupid, guess what? No one else will ever ask questions again. Don't you see what's happening? And y'all sitting around fucking laughing? You think I would fucking come out my wake up and say, I'm gonna make up a lie about being invited to the White House? What the fuck I look like?
Look, Nicki Minaj right now, I think, is, again, she's feeling the ramifications of stepping outside the leftist narrative. And you said they created her. She's being used. She was used. She was praised. Remember that. They encouraged her, you know. And as soon as she went against the norms, you know, when she threw her hand, you know, she's like, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
What's happening here? You know, because they gave her awards. They gave her shows. They gave her Hollywood, social media, everywhere. Everybody loved her. But the second she questions, oh, no, we can't have that. So let me.
Like that.
Exactly. And she knows that. Okay. And this is the clip that I like. And then the final one, which is awesome. And again, this is why conservatives need to cash in on this. Let me play this one and then I'll play the final one.
The Democratic Party in general and so many people jumping at the chance to, okay, well, we can't make fun of the actual story anymore and talk about testicles and balls till they drop dead and make that a joke. So now we have to attack her personally. I want you guys to see what is happening.
I like that she called out she said Democrats, dude. Okay, that's key there.
You got Tucker Carlson. And you have Tucker Carlson, Jack Posobiec, Mike Cernovich, Bannon, all these cats, Raheem Kassem, all, you know, Will Chamberlain, you know what I mean? Like, you have every prominent conservative on your side saying, speak up. They're not speaking on her behalf. They're saying, good for you for questioning. And they go, now, you see what they're doing now? Because she even mentioned Trump in that speech in her Instagram live, where they were like, they canceled Trump for it took them 4 years to cancel Trump. They did it in 2 days. She's like, what the fuck is that about? You know, because she has more followers than Trump. Overall.
I'm gonna play this final one. In my opinion, again, we have to be smart about this, conservatives, because. And I think that most conservatives are. I think that they have their ear on the ground. This is not your granddaddy's old GOP party anymore, folks. People who are in the conservative movement today are smart.
Us 40-year-olds, you know, prominent, you know, people that are in their, you know, mid to, you know, early to late 30s, 40s, 50s, like, but they're one with the culture. Because we were the 90s kids. You know what I mean? The 80s, 90s kids that, you know, we were around everybody. We were integrated. Life was great. And we understand pop culture. We understand conservative culture. We understand religion. We understand how a lot of this is. They ain't ready for this.
Right. Let me play this clip. This is the money one.
Don't tell me I can't agree with a Republican or I can't agree with this person. I can't agree with this one. Do you see the first person who went out there to attack me? A black woman. The fuck I look like lying about getting an invite? The fuck? Fuck with my phone.
That's going to be my ringtone. All right,
but it's the truth, man. It's the truth. Yeah. Look, we've gotten to a point in a society where a blue check person here can't talk to a blue check person there, because now if you say, hey, well, you represent more of the Democratic base and this one represents what we say is white supremacy, you can't talk to them, because then it doesn't meet the narrative, because you're like, oh, he's not a bad person. We might not agree politically, but we bleed red. He says hello. I say hello. We have a normal conversation. He's not the devil. He ain't looking for blood. Y'all are looking for blood just for saying hi. That, no, that's part of the rules for radicals.
Bro, I told you when we first started the podcast and we started moving into a political area, because at first we
lost a lot of friends.
I'm telling you, dude, I was telling you guys that, you know, there are literally people who told me, just like, I don't want to be your friend no more, literally. And just and I was like, peace, bye. And people who were up to that point, we were friends. We were really close friends. We hung out. We had great times. And the second they found out that I like Trump, oh, you're an evil person. Really? You knew me before all that. And all of a sudden everything. But see, this is what their goal is. Okay. So then, what happened with Nicki Minaj? Because it didn't end there. The socialist machine came down on her. They doubled down. She doubled down. CNN then went after her cousin. You were mentioning this earlier. They started messaging her cousin and demanding a meeting, threatening that they were going to reveal their address if they didn't agree to an interview.
It was a different girl from a different publication that on WhatsApp got to him and said, hey, if you give me an interview, I promise we won't do that. But CNN is on the island looking for you.
Exactly. Okay. Sorry. Exactly. You're right.
Yeah.
They said CNN is out there looking for you. Okay. Which again, and they said, but they will expose you, right? They will, you know, so put your address out there. CNN is being thrown out there. So what does Nicki do? She gets a message from her cousin and she doxes this person, puts their phone numbers out there. And guess what? And all hell broke loose. Calls, texts from irate Nicki fans started flooding the cell numbers of these people. CNN panicked. And that's when Instagram deleted everything. She hasn't posted since. Again, folks, one of the persons who has the most followers on all these platforms vanishes. This should scare you, my liberal friends who think you're right. The second that all she did was ask a question.
I've been saying it.
Fucking insanity. Yeah.
I've been saying it for a long, long time. I said, once they got to conservatives and we were talking about all the comedians, why they're all now anti-lockdown, anti all this craziness, because they realized, well, if conservatives get silenced, who's next? You can't talk about the machine and with socialism, communism, big government, because the minute you speak out, they take you out. So a comedian can't be comedic, you know, can't be funny anymore, because everybody gets offended. And if you piss off the wrong person, you're done. So now it's like, oh shit, we're next. So you're seeing a lot of eyes opening up going, huh, this narrative was never about health, because they're forcing this shit.
Right.
You know, and that's where this radicalization, they're all in now. They can't go back, because once we get towards the end, you're starting to see that now in Congress. The moderate Dems are now going, I don't know if I can do the $3.5 trillion. I don't think I can give you that to create that poverty, because that's one of the rules of radicalism, right?
We're going to get there. This is the next one.
That's why I don't want to go too far deep. But you're starting to see a lot of cracks in that wall, because it's all getting exposed. And they're going, shit, if I want to stay in this, either I got to pick a side quick, because this progressive shit might be going down really fast. And it looks like the Titanic is super sinking.
So, yeah. And again, folks, this segment with Nicki Minaj and healthcare and COVID and all that shit, again, healthcare warfare, they're combining two things. One, you divide the people, vaxxed, unvaxxed. And two, you take control over healthcare. That's what they've done, folks. And they've done it successfully. But I think people are waking up. And I think a great example of this, and it wasn't just Nicki who came out, right? Because there was a, you know, Young Money was supporting her as well. He tweeted. I think a lot of people are watching this and they're slowly realizing that
Guy from American Idol, Simon, but I forget the guy's name, but he came out and supported Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
A lot of people spoke out after that.
I'm telling you, if she just gives courage to or makes people reflect, just think, man, you can't ask a question. That's all she was doing. Oh, no, you have to, you know, kowtow the line of the Democratic Party. You have to stay in line. Don't get out of lane. So let's move on to the next one. And again, we're covering 8 steps to socialism. How do we implement that in a society based on Saul Alinsky's quotes? And again, Saul Alinsky was somebody that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and the left out there, his methods is what they idolize and that's what they've been using. And it's how to usurp the power from the establishment. And they've done that successfully. They've done it through the school systems. They've done it by removing God. They've done it through taking control of the healthcare system. They've done it through creating divide. So what is the next one? I'm calling this one illegal poverty. And again, they've combined two things here. And we're going to focus on welfare and poverty and how they're creating an economy where you're creating people dependent on government. So right now, there's a homelessness crisis, and you see it all over and there's a drug problem in American cities, folks. You know, I always tell the story. I went to Philadelphia around this time last year. Philadelphia, folks, this is where the founding fathers met to talk about seceding from Great Britain and establishing the greatest country in the history of mankind in Philadelphia. And I went out there and there was so much in the middle of the city, folks, in the middle of the history of the country. Zombies, people walking around, drugged out, crack, fentanyl, whatever, in broad daylight. Sad, sad, folks. But these are Democrat-run cities, top to bottom. So with all that going on, there is more poverty now coming, flooding through the border. And if you, because this was all over social media, if you would have seen the videos, you would have noticed that a lot of these people who are coming are not Central Americans right now, who were at the border. They're not Mexicans. A lot of Haitians are at the border
this week.
Yeah. And you know, and then there's another hurdle coming from Central America. But what I'm saying is that if you, the 10,000 people that you saw, or 12,000, I think it's 15,000 now. I don't know what the number is.
It keeps growing every day. It's swelling. Every day it's like another 8,000. Where are they coming from? How are they getting there?
Exactly. If Haiti doesn't share a border with Mexico, Haiti's an island, folks. How are they getting to the border? Who's paying for this? So this is organized. This is not something that's just happening. Somebody's paying for that. Somebody's doing this.
We know who it is.
So over a week ago, the Biden administration announced that they were going to be stopping deportations, right? They were stopping the Trump's plan that, hey, you know what? If you want some type of asylum, you want anything, you have to stay on the other side of the border and you have to go through the process. Biden ended that. What did he think? And then he ended the, you know, deporting flights, you know, that where they were sending people back. He stopped all that. So what did he think was going to happen? All these countries created even more poverty by shutting everybody down. You know, we felt the impact, but the United States didn't feel the impact that the rest of the world did, especially some of these third world countries who are already poor and in desperate situations. Their governments, you know, implemented these even more stringent lockdowns. And now you have people in desperate need and they're being promised, you know, free money, free everything. Oh, go to America. You're going to get a check for COVID. This is what they're coming for, dude. Yeah. They're coming for their COVID checks. Okay. So the crowd size swells to 15,000. It's probably even more now. So there is an invasion happening at the border that is out of control. Okay. And people were covering this. Citizen journalists were covering this. people with drone, you know, what is it? Not Project Veritas, but InfoWars, I think had, they were shooting drones, and that's how the videos were
Fox
coming
LA,
out.
Yeah. Fox, you know, regular, like local LA Fox, you know, they were covering it with their drone.
Right.
That's what caught it all at first.
Well, I know InfoWars also, I think had a drone out there. So a lot of them had, you know, they did. Okay. Yeah. So what happens? And what they were recording was, again, you had people crossing the river, people up against that bridge, thousands of people. And a picture's worth 1,000 words, right? And so when people saw that, they're like, because you hear 1,000, 10,000, you're like, oh, whatever. You see a video of the mass, how big that is. So what does the Biden administration do? You know, instead of addressing the crisis, what does the Biden administration do?
Double down.
They prohibit the flying of drones over that area. Why?
FAA came in, said it's secure airspace. But that was short-lived. I think the next day the drone was flying again. Fox had their drone.
So Texas, obviously conservative state, they said, you know what? Take up Fox News on the police's helicopter. Yeah. And that's how Fox News was able to record. That's how they got around it. Okay. And then also InfoWars, they filed a lawsuit, you know, because Biden was blocking that. So again, you know, local, this is insanity that the federal government, that the Biden administration is ushering in this, because look, if they believed in that the COVID was such a big deal, they would seal that border, or they would at least demand that any citizen, the second that you cross that border, you get the shot. Right? Right? Why not? You're forcing it on American citizens.
Same thing with Afghan refugees coming in. The Afghan refugees you know, that 100,000. Let me ask you a question. Why is it the Canadian border still closed, but the southern border is wide open? COVID doesn't go to Canada. I mean, COVID only goes north. It doesn't come from, you know, the south, the southern border. What's at the southern border? You know what I'm saying? Your entire outbreak in August came pretty much from the southern states. But when you say it, what it's from this immigration, because Florida, when we weren't immigrating every goddamn fucking person from South America and Haiti over here, Florida and everybody, yeah, they had cases, but it wasn't like this. Everybody's numbers were higher. Obviously, they wanted it on purpose, right? Because they can sell the vax and say DeSantis and Abbott, you know, it's their political ploy to take over the blue, you know, to make everything blue. But it's having a reverse effect. I just saw polling numbers from Texas with the Hispanics. It's like in the teens, his approval rate with Hispanics.
Yeah, that they don't like him.
That's a very dangerous number, because everybody fought for years to get there. You know, your family, you know, there's a million. For every one illegal that comes over and gets just whatever, there's a million people that came over here and did it legally. So when they see that, they're like, fuck you.
Or
come in and destroy my towns and all this. Yeah. And you're
or they're second, third generation Hispanics who've been here. And they're like, that we can't have this. This is insanity. So what does Texas also try to do? Texas tries to crowdfund the finishing of the wall. They garner 50 some million dollars for that. So then Texas starts trying to find somebody to build the wall. The federal government steps in and says, you can't do that. This is, you know, this is left to the. And so that's where it's at right now. It's in the courts. They're fighting this. Biden doesn't care, folks. He doesn't care. What does he do? He takes a long weekend to go to the beach while all this shit was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then what else happens? Okay. And again, illegal poverty, I'm going to call it, because while all this is going on, Biden was more concerned about the protest in D.C. and there was rumor that the three-letter agencies organized the event to trick conservatives to another show, basically. Problem is, only feds and the fake news media showed up. There was, however, one arrest. So who sent me that video?
No, I sent it to you, but it was just confirmed. It just got confirmation just right now. He was Homeland Security.
So he was a fed.
He was Homeland Security. No charges.
Okay, so wait, hold on. So the conservatives again were right. Okay, that there were people, and if they're doing it this time, they did it last time, Tim. There were federal agents in that crowd who instigated this, because that guy got arrested. You think he got arrested because he was just like, oh, hey, I'm just chilling here? They arrested him for a reason. He got violent. He did some shit.
A local, the citizen journalist, again, caught it. He caught the guy, and he's like, dude, this guy's wrong. And I'm pretty sure he's the one who got the cops, said, hey. And then when they got him, he flipped the badge, and they were like, oh, shit, we got it. And they literally surrounded him and escorted him out real
Protected
quick.
Protected him. Yeah. Okay, so again, this should be revelatory to dear conservatives. This is, wake up.
Yeah.
And even moderates need to wake up to this shit, because the left, they're not going to end with just conservatives. You think as soon as, oh, well, conservative, they can't, because I was listening to Posobiec. Posobiec was saying something that I don't necessarily agree with, because Posobiec said, well, you know what, this is a bad sign because conservatives didn't show up to, you know, whatever. And he was the one who was saying stay away, right? But eventually what he said was, this may not be a good thing because this is bad for conservatives because we can no longer protest. But I don't agree with that. See, conservatives can protest because America is a huge country. And see, I think the proof in that was in New York City this same weekend where they organized the shit for DC. You saw a ton of people out in New York City protesting. And so we don't necessarily need to go to DC, maybe for optics, but we can protest, you know, anywhere else. Yeah.
So that's what we need to remember. These mass organized protests on DC, we're done with that. Everything that we got to do, because you ain't getting no support out of DC. All of them hate you. Maybe like there's four that might like their constituents, but most of them hate you. They're out for themselves. The only way you win, you have to be local.
Yes.
You got to fix your house first. You can't be in New York and say, I'm going to DC to fix. No, fuck them. Fuck them, because you know what? You can write a million emails to Cinema and that other fuck from Arizona, Mark Kelly, and say, don't vote for the $3.5 trillion. They can, every citizen of Arizona, they can get, you know, 8 million letters and emails. And you know what they'll still do? Approve. So you're not representing me. You're representing your interest and your party. Sorry. So you do it at the local level. So when you protest in New York City, you have New Yorkers protesting New York. I have stake in New York. I'm not going to go sit there and destroy New York or Arizona. And you take over your local. When you radicalize your base to say, we're going to take this back, not by force, but we're going to do it by numbers and get into the school board. Everything that they hate Steve Bannon for right now, they are trying to cancel him even more than he's canceled right now, because they didn't realize all these grassroots things that he's been doing. All the election polls and everything. Oh yeah, it's all been taken over by Republicans and all the school boards and total side tangent.
Yeah, no. It's smart.
But this is to your point. Your eight rules of, you know, Saul's patriotic rules is, we're taking their model.
Yes.
And we're flipping it.
Yes.
And going, oh, we know your playbook.
Yes.
And let's apply it. We mastered your playbook. Now we're going to apply it because we have our base. Our base is open. And now the same people that you said have a little bit more money, have a little bit more time. Small business owners, they were affected by COVID. Their eyes are open going, shit, I did everything right. And they still fuck me. Okay, you fuck me. I got you now. I'm going to fuck you back. And I'm not going to do it with fighting.
No.
I'm going to get back in and we're going to take back over
and you know
school boards. And
you know what, Tim? That's a smart point that you made. and the point that I made, and also that Saul Alinsky made. See, if you read his book, Saul Alinsky doesn't talk about anything illegal in his book. I'm gonna cover some of this stuff right now. And we don't have to. See, how do we combat this? How do we roll back decades of indoctrination from our school system? And like you said, we're going to use their own tactics against them. And again, I'm going to call this Saul's Rules for Patriots. Okay. And again, it's from Alinsky's own book and the rules that I like, but to our advantage. So rule number four, and I'm not going to go through all of them because we're going to run out of time, but rule number four, and look, I recommend that you go read this, read the cliff notes on this book. It's worth it. Or just the bullet points. Honestly, that book is not necessarily any ideology. It really isn't. It's just a way for the have-nots to remove the haves, right? This is all it is. So what he talks about in rule four is he says, make opponents live up to their own book of rules. And I like that because, see, conservatives can do that. And conservatives are doing that. How? Because we demand that they continue to wear their goddamn masks, shame them when they don't, call their mandates segregation because that's what they are, right? And then why do they get to go out to stadiums, folks, to super spreader events? We need to push them to continue to get their fucking booster shots as well. Because, see, this is how we need to force them to live to their own goddamn standards. Demand that they donate half their wealth to the poor. Shame them for being white and in an Ivy League school. Because, well, guess what? They should give up their spot for a minority. Why are you doing that? You're benefiting from your whiteness. Shame them for having gas vehicles. They're destroying the planet according to their own standards. Shame them for having so much wealth and not donating it. AOC at Met Gala, right? We did that. We shamed her. Fucking fake. Shame them for not housing illegals in their own homes. Because they're all for open borders, but how come you're not housing any illegals? Again, we need to make them live to their own standards. Shame them for eating meat. I'm saying vegans predominantly are leftists and they believe that we got, you know what I mean? You're for the animals. How come you're eating meat? Okay. There's the hypocrisy in there. Okay.
You got to flip it on them.
You have to. Rule number five, ridicule. I love this one because we do this all the time and it works. Ridicule is a man's most potent weapon. It's hard to counterattack, right? So how do we do this? And we do this all the time. We do this all the time on this show. We mock them for their senile president. He's a goddamn idiot. Fucking Mr. Hairy Legs.
I got hairy legs.
Yeah. Meme wars. Dude, conservatives dominate the meme war. TikTok, social media, conservatives on TikTok. If you look, I don't know how often you spend on TikTok, but conservatives on TikTok generally post fun videos. I'm not watch them. Liberals are always angry because nobody knows how to fucking their pronouns, and you know
they are the angriest people in the world, man.
Yeah, yeah,
angry.
And I love watching conservative videos because they're fun. They're having fun with it. They're mocking the other side with their hypocrisy. The ridicule is a great weapon. When you have both Elon Musk and Nicki Minaj clowning on the president, you know the tactic of Sleepy Joe is working. It's working. Next one. Rule six. A good tactic is one your people enjoy. If your people aren't having fun, there's something very wrong with your tactic. And this is true. And I think this is unique to conservatives, right? Because in general, politics don't make our lives. It's only up until recently, I think, that conservatives have gotten involved. But in general, it really isn't. We don't stop living our life. And I don't think for the most part, conservatives let them, you know, Let us get us down. Let them get us down. But there should be righteous anger. But I don't think, you know, we should let them demoralize us. And so if you're not having fun while you're doing this, you're doing it wrong. So this is what I, you know, and I like that. I like that rule. Rule 8, keep the pressure on. I like that rule. Don't stop. And I don't think conservatives stop, man. We're continuing to attack. That's why they're censoring and it's working. They want to ban fuck Joe Biden phrase now.
I know. You saw that one, right?
Yeah.
They go, this might actually be illegal. And it's hate speech. I'm like, whoa. I said, wait a minute. I said, you had Madonna saying that motherfucker in the White House, I want to blow.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say because, I don't want to say because they're going to say, oh, you. Yeah.
Madonna.
She makes claims like that. Kathy Griffin has the severed head of Trump holding it up with the butcher knife with the blood all over. That was okay. Fucking Trump billboards as Hitler in fucking Phoenix on Grand Avenue. That was okay. Every reference to Nazism was okay under Trump. But now if you say, well, this vaccine shit, this is Nazi Germany. You're an you know who I don't see claiming anti-Semitism with that? Jewish people.
Exactly.
You know what I see a lot of Jewish people say? Yeah, this is really bad. This is really what happened, guys. They're trying to rewrite that history. Just today, and I sent this to my buddy, one of my buddies, because we were talking about this last night, and some of them didn't know, and I didn't send it to all of them, but the one that I always talk politics with. A job posting today in Washington State. I think I sent it to you. A job posting in Washington State for what the hell was it for? Hold on. It was to go work in a isolation/quarantine facility in Washington State for COVID. And I'm like, I was just telling my friends, I was like, this is happening in Australia. No, that's not happening in Australia. What? Like they were oblivious that the shit that's happening in Australia. I'm like, whoa, okay. He's like, I don't see it on the news. I'm like, okay, that's probably your first problem. But they don't have the time like we do because we don't got kids and all that. But I'm like, you might want to check that out. And I was saying, I was like, this is, and I was telling my buddy for the last couple months, I said, this is coming here. He's like, I don't know about that. And then he's like, dude, you've been telling me this for months that this was going to happen. I was like, I'm not making this shit up. I'm not making up conspiracy theories.
I saw a meme that said, today's conspiracy theory is tomorrow's spoiler.
That's why everybody was kind of freaking out about Alex. Like, I don't know, last week I kind of said we know he's not right about everything, but there's been a lot of this that because our American vision was this could never happen here because we have checks and balances. But what we fail to realize, and I sent you that video of that, I forget the guy's name from the 60s when he did that show on PBS about how communism is here and they are slowly implementing it. And he said they were going to do it legally by using the government to do it. Mm-hmm. And everything you're seeing now, we are at the true final stages. They've got every piece of government. And now this vaccine shit is that final straw of you have the FDA, the CDC, but now the FDA, they kind of veered against Biden and them. And now Fauci's trying to say, oh, no, this was always the plan that we weren't going to, you know, waiting for the data. No, Fauci, you're fucked. You know what I'm saying? I think they kind of realized. And in that meeting, nobody covered this. In the meeting, one of the doctors that is funded, works for the FDA, funded, has his own thing. He goes, I got to talk about the elephant in the room. He goes, this vaccine is killing people and nobody wants to talk about this. And he's like, as of right now, there's probably over 100,000 deaths from this vaccine.
It's insane.
And I'm like, wait a minute. If you're saying only 600 died from COVID, but already in less than 8 months, this vaccine has killed people that you're claiming. And he's like, this number is probably higher. We're just not recording it correctly. It's like, this is the elephant in the room. We do not know. And everybody's willingly injecting themselves with this. So you are now forcing this healthcare. And what do they say? It's free. The shot is free. The boosters are free. How are you taking over medicine? By the government. The government is now in charge of your healthcare.
Right.
Because now to do anything, you want to get on a plane because that's coming soon. You have to have the vaccine. You want to do this? You got to have the vaccine. You want to do this? You got to have the vaccine. Well, what's going to happen when the people they can't control. And all of a sudden now, you know, the BLMs, they go, wait, I can't get on a plane. Wait, that's racist. But you told me that you were with me and you took a knee last year to get my vote. And now you're saying I can't get on a plane unless I put that shot that I don't want in my arm. How's this going to play out? And I've been saying it for months. I said, Nelson, I mean, Saul, Jeremy, Heidi, I said, what's going to happen when all of a sudden every baseball game, you're going to look and you see a number of white people. You go into a restaurant, see a number of white people. I see the comments about how people were commenting on the Carmine thing, like, they're going to let BLM take over, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, whoa. You know, and then you see other people. Oh, I came in from Texas. I showed my paperwork. It was so nice sitting with people that had the vaccine and I knew I was safe. And I'm like,
it's all white people.
And I'm sitting there going, you do realize what you're saying is actually really fucking racist. When you look around and you say, I feel really safe in here, you're saying I only feel safe around white people. Dude, this is some ass backwards shit. And a lot of people are opening their eyes.
I don't think we need to hold back on that. I'm done with this. I'm done with being that. Yeah. So this is why this rule that
white liberals always the problem.
Don't let up. Keep the pressure on, right? And to me, it's we can't stop. Show up to where Biden will be at. Reveal your displeasure. This is why they're angry. Doing this will also serve as a tactic for tactic number one, which is what? The illusion of power in numbers is as effective as real power. And so Biden, when he sees this, when he sees people showing up, not to praise him, where are his fans? The most popular president in history has no fucking fans showing up anywhere. Instead, he has people who are angry at him. And this, he sees that. And that is power. Because even if it's just a small number, Tim, even if we are the, you know, not the majority, and even, I don't believe that, but even if we're not. It's the illusion of that. And to me, that's why we need to be vocal. We need to get loud. We need to get in, like they say, get in their faces. Let them know that you are there. It's done. No more playing nice guy. Obviously, legally, don't fucking break the law. But you have to make your voice heard. So fuck Joe Biden. Number nine. Yeah. I'm gonna keep going here. Number nine. And it's very similar to this one that I just read, which is the threat is more terrifying than the thing itself. What does that mean? So again, I equate this to how they overplayed their hand this weekend by having more police and FBI agents in DC than actual protesters. This exposed their lack of security at the border because people saw the contrast. They saw the overreaction in D.C. You saw those people, all those police officers in riot gear. And then you look at the border.
It was a distraction. It was another distraction. That's all that was.
But again, I think that this reveals how they overreacted on one point. And that's the point. You have to show their hand. Yeah. Number 11, pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, polarize it. And this is one where I like to stick to message, because what is the issue? You know, because we like to point out it's big pharma, it's big this, big that. But our founding fathers had something new this. And they established our form of government by doing separation of powers. Separation of powers was not an address on free enterprise, on companies and on capitalism. It wasn't. The target was big government, because they knew that you could have a big Walmart somewhere and whatever, but unless they wield power and create politicians to shut down mom and pop shops so that Walmart can grow, Walmart has no power, right? Walmart wields power through big government. And those are the people who can be bought off. So this is one where we need to stay on message. And the message is, big government here is the enemy, and not even necessarily Joe Biden and the Democrats and Big Pharma. None of those people. Yes, they are a problem, and we need to ridicule them and make fun of them, because that's what, you know, a good tactic. But we need to stay on message, and the message here is big government is the issue. We've allowed a behemoth of a system to grow. That's what we've allowed, and that's why it's so corrupt.
Think about it. Think about TSA. TSA is huge, right? Do you ever? I don't feel that I'm safe going through an airport looking
it's
at
bullshit.
Dude, I had a lady and I was wearing my sunglasses and I gave him ID. I can't see her face. I'm like, what the fuck? And she was being a dick about it. Didn't realize I had my sunglasses on.
Oh,
and I was like, oh shit. And she said, oh, now I can see your face. I'm like, bitch. Why didn't you just say, take your glasses off? Like, why are you? But again, she was 500 pounds, 15 chins. Like, yeah, what are you going to do? You collected a government check. You know what exactly. I'm saying? But those organizations were built on fear of, oh my God, terrorists. They hijacked the plane. Well, they didn't get passed through security. They, you know what I'm saying? Like they got on the tarmac. We had a bigger problem. TSA is not going to stop somebody from getting on the tarmac. Like they got through everything else. Sorry. People have gotten on the tarmac with all this TSA. So I don't feel any safer. But that's how many 100,000 jobs? That's a big government organization. And it bloats. And then it turned into, oh, it's Homeland Security. So now Homeland gets bigger because now we got to protect our. And I go, oh, yeah, yeah. But they use the fear to build that big ass arm of the government. That's like a 17th branch, you know what I mean, of a military. If you give them all a gun to say, hey, point it at the people now. Okay. You know, I don't feel safer with them. But what I see is I'm paying a lot of people's paychecks that they ain't doing nothing. They sit there and
it's just money.
And they get the retirement and I'm like, come on, stop it. No, they should not get none of that. You know what I mean?
It was supposed to be temporary.
Yeah, temporary turned into here nothing we are, with 20 the government years later. Temporary. The government's not temporary. If you give the government an inch, they take the whole fucking thing and they expand on it. And that's where you don't let lockdowns. Oh, PB did release the video. So
okay, we gotta watch it. We're just gonna leave it there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on another episode of The Salty Show. Find us on some of the social media, Instagram. We might join some other ones. But for now, Instagram. Give us a follow, hit the like button, and share some of the content. We will catch you all next time. Adios.
Peace.